Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, before we get to the content of the show today, this is our first program of 2018. So let me say Happy New Year to you and all our listeners.
Well, thank you, Scott. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
You know, 2017 was an eventful year. I started out in India, and then shortly after that, on January 9th, I got my fourth grandson, Seth Pritchett, a good early Genesis name, and I had the joy of holding him in my arms when he was, about 7 hours old.
Wow. Your fourth grandson. So now with the last name of Pritchett, Seth must be your daughter's baby.
That's right. My daughter, Carolyn. She and her husband, Ryan, have two girls and a boy. And my son Luke and his wife have three boys. And rumor has it that one of my kids, I won't say which one, is hoping to make it seven grandchildren for Karen and I. But those kinds of plans are in the Lord's hands, as is this whole new year before us.
And thankfully so. I sure wouldn't want it any other way.
For sure, Scott. What a comfort. And yet, I think we who know the Lord Jesus as Creator, Savior, and coming King sometimes may take that comfort for granted.
True.
But whatever may happen, whether it be natural disaster, which there was plenty of in 2017, or political upheaval, we have the peace of knowing our God is in control, and He causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, and to those who are called according to His purpose. So all I can say about 2018 at this point is, given how exciting 2017 began for me, 2018 so far looks like it's going to be kind of tame in comparison. And I'm thinking, as far as you're concerned, Scott, you won't mind if 2018 holds a little less excitement in your life.
Well, yes. I'd be very content to avoid any more open heart surgeries.
Well, Scott, I and those who regularly listen are all happy you're here and looking forward to what 2018 has in store.
Well, thank you. And now we should probably get to the subject of our program.
I guess.
You want to continue in the series, Creation in the Book of Isaiah, today.
Yes, a great way to kick off the new year. Now, the last time we were in Isaiah, we finished in chapter 42, which has a profound claim by the Creator. Verse 5 says, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." Then he goes on to describe what he and his servant, the chosen one, will do for his people, to the nations of the earth, and to the earth itself. And here's a sample of what the Creator says he will do in verse 15. Quote, "I will lay waste the mountains and hills and wither all their vegetation. I will make the rivers into coastlands and dry up the ponds." But all the while, and in the midst of that destruction, the Lord promises to protect His precious, beloved people, Israel. So as we come to Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to hear the Lord claim that not only did He create man, as He pointed out in chapter 42, verse 5, remember, He said He gives breath to the people on the earth and spirit to those who walk in it. In chapters 43 and 44, He also makes the claim that He is the one who created the nation of Israel. In fact, He reminds Israel of that fact, not once, not twice, not even three times, but I counted 12 times in those two chapters.
12 times.
Yeah.
I guess God felt like they either had very short memories or they were in denial.
Well, Scott, we do know how quickly Israel forgot things. For example, it was only a few weeks after the Lord had brought them through the Red Sea that they were complaining God had brought them into the wilderness to die.
Yeah.
And they were continually denying the Lord as their God by making and worshiping all kinds of idols instead of the Lord alone. But let's be realistic. It's easy to find fault with them, but what do we learn in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12 warns us, "Let us not try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So, as we read what the Lord says to Israel in Isaiah chapters 43 and later in 44, we need to apply it to ourselves. Now, as always, it's important to keep the context of these statements that we're going to be reading in mind. The Lord is talking about Israel being in captivity in Babylon, even though it hasn't happened yet. But for the sake of those who will read these words in the future, He comforts them by promising to bring them back. He promises to redeem them. So here is how chapter 43 begins. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
There it is again.
There's what again?
That principle we see over and over again in the Bible. God claims ownership of what He created.
Indeed. And what we're going to see in these chapters, as God reiterates the fact that He created Israel 12 times, God is reminding them in order to first insist that He owns them and they are obliged to obey Him, but second, that He made them and He loves them. He will not forget them. He has wonderful plans for them. So, Scott, did you notice the two different words the Lord used to describe His actions with respect to Jacob, that is Israel?
Well, yes. He said He was their Creator and that He formed them. Now, isn't that the word we find in Genesis chapter 2 where it says that God formed Adam of the dust of the ground?
Exactly. It's that beautiful picture word, I like to call it, because the noun form of that verb translated formed is potter. It gives the sense of a very intimate interaction between God and His creation, like a potter pressing and shaping the vessel with his hands.
Sculpting.
Yeah. So then listen to what He says to His creation. Verse 2 and 3, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then in verse 4, he goes on to say, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. And then he reminds them three more times, he's their maker. Scott, go ahead and read verse 7.
Okay, it says, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Wow. So in that one verse, God uses all three words to describe what He did.
That's right. Created, formed, and made. The Hebrew words are bara, yatsar, and asah. Could God make it any more clear? Israel exists because of Him. And so, on the one hand, they have to obey Him. And on the other hand, it shouldn't be a surprise that He cares for them so much. He's been caring for them for centuries, and they know it, even though for a time they've been captives in a foreign land. So He reasons with them in verse 10. We're still in chapter 43. I'm going to read portions from verse 10 to 15. Quote, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. Before me, there was no God formed. Let me stop right there for a moment and point out, but what they've been doing is forming all kinds of gods with their hands. And then he goes on to say, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? You notice that allusion to the potter again? The potter with his hands forming Israel? And he says, no one can deliver anything out of my hands. Verse 14 then, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So notice, he said, he will do to Babylon what he had done to Israel. And in the process, he will deliver his people, Israel, and he will rule them. And their response will be, well, listen to verse 21. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
But that too will not happen until far into the future, because what the Lord says about his people and how they're treating him in the present is heartbreaking. Scott, read verses 22 and 23.
Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offering, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices.
And in verse 24, he says, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. So what is the Lord going to do? One might think he's going to punish them again, but no. Verse 25 says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now that's astounding. I mean, given what he's just said about how he's been wearied by their sin, by all their idolatry, all their unfaithfulness, and yet he says he will wipe out their transgressions, but notice it's for his own sake. It's not because they deserved it. And when he does it for his own sake, how will he do it? Well, he will do it by having his chosen one, the servant that he referred to earlier in chapter 42. That servant will be the one that pays for their sins. In fact, pays for our sins, the sins of all the world. And then he promises the blessing of the Spirit, that Spirit that we know is sent because of what the Lord Jesus does. So listen to how chapter 44 is introduced. God says, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. What a magnificent promise. What hope Israel has. And we in the New Testament age know how that hope was accomplished. Now, I'd love to talk more about that, but we're out of time. But there are several more references in chapter 44 in which the Lord reminds his people that he is their creator, and we'll see that next time. But to conclude, let's read again Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.